This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Agar. Good to have you along. You know, in a time like this, we might think, hey, at least the kids are home, and maybe with them being home, they're safer not only from the virus, but from any of the other dangers that might lurk out there for young people. But joining me now, Ronelle Bruder, consultant, human rights advocate, founder of RISE Initiative, a grassroots project to empower vulnerable youth. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jerry.
It's good to talk to you. I would think, if we don't think about it too hard, we would think that, hey, our kids are okay. They're home all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the misconception that a lot of parents have right now is, you know, kids are home. They're not able to go outside and get in trouble. When the reality is, they're actually the most vulnerable because of the substantially increased time online.
So this comes down then to parents understanding the online situation. First of all, let's talk about what the dangers are. What are they in danger of having happen to them if they're home and on their computer?
Yes. So because children are online and just increased amount of time online via social media for schoolwork, gaming, different things like that, predators, traffickers, people that want to exploit and take advantage of young people, this is an ideal situation for them because you have countless children online all the time.
You're talking about the kinds of people who will sex traffic young people.
Sex traffic and exploit young people, exactly.
What other ways are they exploited?
Well, I mean, because now they may not be able to physically, obviously, you know, meet with the young person, but they're able to ask the young person to send them nude photos, nude videos, things that they may be able to sell. So I'm talking about child pornography, things that they could sell, extort the young person. So there's so many different forms of exploitation that can happen online.
You and I have talked about the issue of sex trafficking, and we're not talking about it somewhere off in a third world country or something. We're talking about it right here in the GTA across Canada. And I think that most right-thinking people are shocked to realize how young some of the victims are.
Yes, I know. I think even just believing that it happens in Canada, a lot of people would be shocked. But we know that it is happening in Canada, and the victims are predominantly female and very young. So as young as 11 years old, I've heard of cases of girls being exploited and trafficked.
All right. So what kinds of techniques then would an abuser, a trafficker, use right now to troll the internet and be able to connect with a kid?
So really simple, Jerry, just connecting with a young person, sending them a DM, so a direct message, something like, hey, beautiful. Right? All they need is that young person to respond. And they can send this message out to hundreds, if not thousands, of young children. One person responds, then they're able to build that connection. So they're going to keep talking to them. They're going to keep trying to get information from this young person, trying to find what other vulnerabilities in their life. Are their parents arguing? Are they having issues at school? Do they have a low self-esteem? Once they know these things, once they know sort of the gaps or the vulnerabilities in this young person's life, they can kind of come in and become the solution or the answer to their problem. So if their parents don't understand them, guess what? This person does. If they've never been told they're beautiful before, this is the person that's going to tell them how beautiful they are, that they could be a model, right? They're going to feed their self-esteem, feed their ego. But really what they're trying to do is to create a bond and build that relationship with the child.
The young girl could think she's speaking to another young girl where she's actually speaking to a 35-year-old man.
Yeah, so sometimes, yeah, it's even creating a fake profile so they could be pretending to be another young person. But sometimes they could just pretend to be themselves and they could approach them as a boyfriend. So, you know, I'm a 16, 17-year-old young boy and I want to have a relationship with you. So really, whatever it takes to create that connection. So they can be whoever they need to be, basically.
How widespread is this problem for anybody who's listening, Ronell, and they still, you know, they think that you're overblowing it, I'm overblowing it. How big a problem, let's say even just in the GTA, is the sex trafficking of young people?
Well, I know in talking to the Toronto Police Services, they have seen substantial increase. I think it was 250% as far as in calls and in reported cases of trafficking happening right here in Toronto. So this is a very much a concern, I would say, for parents, and I think for everybody, a lot of times people think if this is happening, maybe it's only very, very high risk, vulnerable young people. It's happening to children of all walks of life. All socioeconomic backgrounds can become vulnerable to something like this because all young people, they're vulnerable. They're young. I mean, that's just the nature of being a child, right? Is you're naive. And yeah. So it's easy for someone to exploit that.
Ronell Bruder is with me, consultant, human rights advocate, founder of Rise Initiative, a grassroots project to empower vulnerable youth. So a parent is listening right now. What kinds of things do you tell parents they can do to try and mitigate against this?
Yeah, so I have a couple tips as far as online and social media safety. So one thing is keep your profile private. All children should have a private profile. So a lot of social media apps, they default to public. So you actually have to go in there and manually go in the settings and change it to private. And children should never be friending, adding anyone that they don't know personally. If you don't know them, they should not be part of your friends list. Another thing is I always tell parents, tell your children to be careful what they share. Young people, I mean, everybody overshares, but young people do this in particular. And a lot of times they don't understand sort of the gravity of what they're sharing online. So I always say, whatever you put online, it's there forever. So don't put it online if you don't want mom, dad, grandma to see it, right? It's there forever. And then lastly, to your point earlier, because traffickers a lot of times will create a fake profile to reach and connect with young people can do the same thing. And so this is an added sort of barrier of protection is instead of using your own picture, use an avatar in your profile. Or don't use your real name, use a pseudonym. So different things like that to make it harder for a trafficker or someone who wants to exploit your child to really be able to know who they are and connect with them.
When we first started having computers in the home, Ronell, one of the things that I know parents were constantly told is that young kids, you're talking about 11, 12 years old, they shouldn't be holed up in their bedroom with a computer.
Yes, I know a lot of parents, if their child's online on social media, right now, I mean, they're doing schoolwork online too, they'll have them do that in the living room or in a common place. But I think the reality is you're not able to watch your child 24 hours a day. You know, they could be up in their room saying they're sleeping at 11 o'clock at night and on social media. So even though we may not be able to see them at every single point in time, at least having them know the dangers that are out there and different ways that they can protect themselves when you're not around or when you're not able to watch.
How good a job do you think law enforcement is doing against this threat?
I mean, I think law enforcement is doing the best that they can. I mean, they're overwhelmed. I think, you know, with COVID-19, as far as probably reported cases may have gone down, but still they have investigations. They're trying to also engage the community and do outreach in the community. So I think they're doing the best they can, but this issue cannot be solved by law enforcement alone, right? It needs to be a combined effort. Parents, community leaders, faith leaders, everyone, law enforcement, we need to come together to address this issue.
It's really difficult, too, as a parent, because you start to talk about this. Dad!
Yes, I know. It's not an easy conversation to have with your children to talk about sex, but the reality is you need to have it. And it should be an ongoing conversation. So it shouldn't just be a one-time, one-off, this is what sex is, this is what sex trafficking is. No, an ongoing conversation with your children, talking about them, what's happening, things they should be aware of. It is a hard conversation to have, but we don't have the luxury of not having it because this is happening. Young children are being exploited. They're being trafficked. So we need to be vigilant as parents.
Ronell Bruder, consultant, human rights advocate, founder of Rise Initiative, grassroots project to empower vulnerable youth. It's always good to talk to you, Ronell. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.